Nisechtesan Hedrin Daf Chav Ches at the top of Daf Chav Ches Amin Aleph, our Mishnah stated Elohim HaKrevim, and Lefi Rabbi Kiva, our Mishnah discussed 10 relationships, 9 of these relationships extended to their children and their sons-in-law as well, while the Kurva and Psul of a stepson to testify regarding his stepfather or to judge his stepfather was only Char Galavadai and did not extend to Bada V'chasnai to a step-grandchild or a step-grandson-in-law. And we already pointed out that although according to the Gears of our Mishnah, we didn't mention the curve of a person's father. However, certainly a person's father is going to be a curve and is puzzled to say edus or to judge his son. And the Rabbi Pirush Mishnais explains that the reason why Mishnah doesn't discuss a person's father is since the ikum akar that we brought is from the pasuk in Pashas Kiseyse that states la yumsu aves al banim or banim la yumsu al aves. So if two brothers and uncles are considered kravim, then certainly a father is considered a karev. And let's remember the Rashi pointed out that regarding Psuli Kurvar, we learn Baal Ka'ishtai, which we will see in Daf Chav Chesam Beis. Therefore, when a Mishnah stated Baal Chayse, Baal Chayse Aviv, and Baal Chayse Imai, those are possible in the same way that Achiv Vachi Aviv Vachi Imai were possible. And the craving that we already discussed in the Mishnah are as follows. The first curve were brothers. Second and third curve were a person's paternal and maternal uncles. Fourth curve was a person's sister's husband or a person's brother-in-law. And really, this is similar to the first curve of a person's brother as a person's sister's husband has the same status as a person's brother since Baal Ka'ishtai, and therefore your sister's husband is similar to your brother, and we actually call a person's sister's husband their brother-in-law. The fifth and sixth korva is a person's maternal aunt or his paternal aunt's husband, and since Baal Ka'ishtai, therefore it is similar to the third and fourth korva as they have the same status as a regular uncle, and the seventh korva was a stepfather, a mother's husband, and as we learned, Baal Ka'ishtai, so he has the din like your father. And the eighth korva in our Mishnah was a person's father-in-law. Ninth korva is Gisai, which is a person's brother-in-law or the husband of a person's wife's sister. And the tenth korva listed in our Mishnah is Chargoy, a person's stepson. Ayin Rashi and Taisis who point out that since all the korva in our Mishnah go both ways and are reciprocal in nature, so since the Mishnah already mentioned that a stepfather can't testify regarding a stepson, so the opposite would also be true, and a stepson can't testify regarding a stepfather. And if so, why would our Mishnah have to mention Chargoy and Ayin Rashi and Taisis who discussed it at length? And let's also point out that although in our Mishnah we stated that the din of Heinu Bnei V'chasnein applies to the first 9 korvos that are mentioned in the Mishnah, including Gisai, however, we will see the sheet of Rav Chiya in the Gemara, and Rav Chiya will only hold that this applies to only 8 korvos. And as we will see, according to Rav Chiya, not only is Chargoy levadai, but Gisai is also levadai, and someone's brother-in-law's sons or his sons-in-law would not be possible based on korvos. Finally, let's also keep in mind that since our Mishnah taught us Heinu Bnei V'chasnein, most of these relationships extend to a person's children and his sons-in-law. Therefore, if you would make a chesh bin our Mishnah, there are multiple relationships that are mentioned or referenced more than once in our Mishnah. And for example, since the Mishnah mentioned Achiv, Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers, are considered Krivim, but as we saw in our Mishnah, not only would Reuven be puzzled to say Edus regarding Shimon, but Reuven would also be puzzled to say Edus regarding Shimon's son, Shimon's sons-in-law, which are Reuven's nephews. That would be the same exact case as Achi Aviv, and we see that Psul Korva is mentioned twice in our Mishnah. Our Gemara now begins, Eshkan Avis Labanim, Ubanim Avis, Vikoshkin Avis Ladadi. As we mentioned in the Akdama, based on the Pasuk of Layumsu Avis Albanim, Ubanim Layumsu Al Avis, we already brought a Makar. Uncles can't testify regarding their nephews, and nephews can't testify regarding their uncles. And certainly, if Reuven and Shimon can't testify regarding each other's children, then they can't testify regarding each other, and therefore certainly we have a makar that brothers can't testify and can't be the onim regarding each other. And the Gemara now is banim lebanim minolan, and since our Mishnah stated that achi av vachi imai are considered a karev, and the Mishnah stated heinu bnei v'chasnein, therefore we see that first cousins are possible to testify regarding each other. And the Gemara is, what is the makar for this din? And the Gemara explains, im kein lichtekra layimsu aves haben, if the Torah only wanted to teach us that uncles can't testify regarding their nephews, then the pasuk should have stated layumsu aves haben, and it didn't have to say lashim rabim layumsu aves habanim. And as Rashi explains, lift layumsu aves haben, they're keeping the chesiv aves shnei achim mashma, while a ben having mashma b'nei shel kol echav echad having pasul shneim. And as the Gemara continues, my bonim, so why did the Torah state layumsu aves habanim that filu bonim ladadi, and even these children and the first cousins are considered craving to each other? And the Gemara continues, eshchon bonim ladadi, so we now even have a makar that first cousins are considered relative to each other, they can't testify and they can't be dionim regarding each other. But banim la'alma minolan, how do we know that two first cousins can't be the two edim that come to testify regarding other people and they can't be dionim for other people? As Rashi states, la'alma shushnei kravim sulin lehera adam and ashok, that two kravim are going to be puzzled to say testimony regarding someone that is unrelated to them and is echem and ashok. And Rashi is meduik in his lashon, as Rashi states that the Gemara's question is lav dafka b'negei first cousins, and it's really just asking that how do you know that any kravim apostle to get together as edim and testify or be deonim regarding people that are not related to them? And the Gemara's havmina is that this will be based on a svara, as Omrani Bachama svaru that is based on a svara. K'tanya, as we learned in the brisa, ein edim nasim zaimim ad shiyuzum shneim, where some agaris ein edim zaimim nerogan ad shiyuzum shneim. And we know that if Reuven and Shimon come to Bezdin and they say testimony regarding Levi, that Levi is Reitzeach and Levi is Chai Misa, and then they're found to be Zemimin, then they're both going to be Chai Misa. But the only way that there is a din of Edom Zemimin is only if both Reuven and Shimon are found to be Edom Zemimin. Therefore, Rami Bar Chama states, Isaac Daitach Banam La'al Makshirin, and if you're going to say that Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers, can testify with each other regarding a third unrelated party, and Nimsa Eid Zemim Nereg Be'ed Zachiv, then when Reuven and Shimon both become Edom Zemimim, the only reason why they're both being killed is because they are both found to be Edom Zemimim. And even more so, the only reason why they're going to be killed is because they testified together. As if only one of them would have come to Bezdin and testified, then certainly that would not be a valid Haggadah Eidus, as there's a requirement to have two Edim Udin and Nefashos, and this would go against the klal of Lo Yimsu Avos Al Banim or Banim Lo Yimsu Al Avos. As Rashi states, Be'edus Achiv, the Lav the Asid High Kravim Hadei Lo Yavim Mikdal Nimtzu Banim Mesim Zel Zeh. And Ayin Tais Rashi points out La'aluma Lepeche Maisei Law, that the only reason why we brought this brisa is in order to make this question even stronger. That even if the Edim would be, even if one of the Edim would be found to be an Eid Zaymim, that he could be killed by himself, then it turns out that the reason why he's killed is because he testified together with his brother. The Gemara continues, that according to Yisora, that we have a Mishnah Masecht Babasra, Perakas Abatim, which discusses how someone can prove that they have a chazaka of 3 years. And the Mishnah teaches us, Shloisha Achim Ve'echem Mitzdarfi Marin, Hare'il Gimel Edyas, even if you have three brothers that come to testify, and each one comes to testify regarding a different year, and they come together with one other aid, and for example, Reuven and Moshe come to testify regarding year one, Shimon and Moshe come to testify regarding year two, and Levi and Moshe come to testify regarding year three, then that's considered valid Haggadah Eidus regarding Shnei Chazaka, Vehin Eidus Achaz Lazama. They are all considered like one kat b'negei Hazama, and the only way to be mazim them is if you're going to be mazim Reuven, Shimon, Levi, as well as Moshe. When Moshe wants to mazim them, and since Moshe was 50% of the Haggadah Eidus, so Moshe would have to pay for 50% of the potential loss that he wanted to cause the owner. Reuven, Shimon, Levi will be responsible and split the other 50% of the loss. Rashi states, Vehin Eidus Achaz Lazama, the Adam Mitzvah Kulu Loi Meshalmi Mimayna, the Leav Mesukba Biyad Lekeach El Besadusa De Kulu. When Maisa Ravi Es Rani Bachama Nimsa Eid Zemim Meshalim Mam Veid Esachav, so you see that the Eid Zemim can pay money even through the Eidus of his brother. Therefore, who said that the Eid Zemim can't be killed because of the Eidus of his brother? And as Ravi explains, El Hazom Ma'almakasi Hachinami Hazom Ma'almakasi, that it must be the reason why there's no problem with Eid Zemim paying Mam and Veid Esachav, because the actual reason why Reuven and Shimon and Levi are paying, not because one of the brothers said testimony regarding the other brother, but it's because there were other Edom that came and were mazim them, and the Pearl Yaitse is that these brothers will have to pay mamon. Similarly, if Reuven and Shimon, who are two brothers, testify that Levi killed someone, and then Edom and Zaymim come and they say mamon luisem, the reason why Reuven and Shimon are being killed is not because either brother testified against the other, but it's because of the testimony of unrelated parties, and therefore the klal loyimsu avos al banim ubanim loyimsu al avos doesn't apply. And Ayin Ritva in Masechet Babasra and Daf Nun Vav Beis that points out that this din is no less than a case where Reuven himself or Reuven's brother came to Bezdin and testified that Rachel, who is unrelated to them, is an Eishes Ish, and then Reuven was Mizana with Rachel, and certainly if there were Edim and Asra, then Reuven would be Chayim Misa. And when Maisa, the only reason why Reuven is Chayim Misa is only based on his previous testimony or on the previous testimony of his brother that Rachel is an Eishes Ish. And as Ritva states, for Nimsa, Shemes Be'edis Atzmoy, Oy Be'edis Achiv, the Kibna Hishaita, Loy Bolehid, Al Chavasei, El Based on Rava's question, the Gemara continues, the way that we know that Banum Lo Alma is going to be puzzled is not based on a Svara, but it's based on a Gzeiras HaKasav. And as the Gemara states, Elim Kain Lichter Kra Ubein Alavais, Inami Heim Alavais, Mai Ubanim, Da Filu Banum Lo Alma. And Lemaisa, since the Pasuk stated, Lo Yimsu Abais Albanim, then the continuation of the Pasuk did not have the state, Ubanim Lo Yimsu Alavais, and instead the Pasuk could have stated, Uben Lo Yimsu Alavais, or Vehim Lo Yimsu Alavais. Since the Torah added in the word Ubanim, which is a Lashon Rabim, and it's the extra word, so we're able to learn that Banum Lo Alma also puzzle, and two relatives cannot be Edim and cannot be Dayanim, even regarding unrelated parties. And the Numuk Yosef brings down that although our Gemara doesn't mention this, the Yerushalmi in our parak and Halacha Tess, the Yerushalmi states, Shasharach Shalei Yue Edim Kravim Lidyanim, Velei Kravim Zelazeh, and not only is there a din that Kravim can't be Edim and they can't be Dayanim, but the Edim themselves can't be Kravim to Dayanim, and the Dayanim can't be Kravim to the Edim either. Xeris HaKosef, who Shalei Lohitzim Mamen Alpi Kravim, Ubechlal Zeh, Bein She'edim Kravim Zelazeh, Bein She'edim Kravim Dayanim, Kro Lab Be'edis Belochudairi, the Lab Edis Xiv, El Lema Shalei Lohitzim Mamen Alpi Kravim, Vime'edim Kravim Dayanim, Hariyatam Mitzim Mamen Alpi Kravim, Ayin Shom. And the Gemara continues, Eshkran Kravei Av. At this point, we understand how we have a Makar that two brothers are considered Kravim, and an uncle is also considered a Karev, and certainly a person's father is considered a Karev. However, the Gemara is that our Mishnah mentioned that a person's mother's brother is considered a Karev, and a person's maternal uncle is his Karev, and therefore the Gemara is Kravei Minolan, that how do we know that a person's relative from his mother is considered his Karev? And L'chir, the Gemara means to ask that since we find B'negei Yusha, that Mishpachas Av Kri Mishpacha, however Mishpachas Av Me'ina Kri Mishpacha, maybe we would only say that Kravim from your father is considered a Karev B'negei Psul Edus and Psul Fadeyonis. Once again, the Gemara brings the Gzeiras HaKosav as Amakra, as the Pasuk stated, Layumsu Avais Abanim, Ubanim Layumsu Alavais, and really the Pasuk didn't have to say the word Avais twice, as it could have stated, Layumsu Avais Abanim, Banim Layumsu Alayen. Since the Torah didn't have to mention the word Avais twice, so Mainin Inin Lekreve Av, Tanei Inin Lekreve Aim, and since we don't need it as a Makar to teach us Kreve Av, so it must be coming to tell us that Kraven from your mother is also considered a Karev. The Gemara continues that since all Amakarius were from the Pasuk of Layumsu Avais Abanim, Ubanim Layumsu Alavais, so Eshkan Lecheva, so we would only know that there's a psul korva when you're causing a chayiv and you're causing a detriment to your relative. However, l'schus minolan, how do you know that they're actually coming to the Bezdin in order to testify, in order to help your relative, that you'd still be psul edus? Once again, the Gemara states that's Xeyas HaKasav, as Amakra, yumsu shrei zimni, and einin l'chayiva tenei unin l'schus, that since the pasuk could have stated, l'yumsu alvais albanim, ubanim alvais, and the pasuk adds in the word l'yumsu a second time, since it's not necessary to learn anything regarding a chayiv and regarding a detriment, so therefore we say that it's coming to teach us Adin B'negeyes Chos, and teaching us that all these Kravim are also going to be possible to say Edos, even if their testimony will be a benefit to their Karev. And finally, the Gemara continues, Eshchan B'din Nefashas B'din Mamas Minolan, that L'maisa this Pasuk L'yumsu Avais Abanim U'banim L'yumsu Alavais is only regarding Din Nefashas, and how do you know that Kravim are possible for Din Mamas? And once again, the Gemara says it's Xeris HaKosev, as Amakra, as the Pasuk in Pashas Emor states, Mishpat Echa Yilchem Kager Gezrachiyah, Kiani Hashem Alekechem. Since this Pasuk is stated right after the Torah speaks about Dinan Mamnis and Dinan Fashis, as the Pasuk states, Umaka Behem Yishalmena, Umaka Adam Yumas, we have a general rule, Mishpat Hashem Alekechem, that Dinan Mamnis and Dinan Fashis have the same Dinim, and since Kravim are possible for Dinan Fashis, therefore they're going to be possible for Dinan Mamnis as well. And let's keep in mind that at this point in the Gemara, we already have Makuris, two brothers are considered Kravim, and certainly a father is considered a Karev, and we already saw a Makar Fahi Aviv Vahi Imai, and we also saw a Makar for first cousins, which are of course included on Mishnah, as our Mishnah stated, Achiv, and it stated Hinu Bnei V'chasneyen. First cousins through marriage are also included in the Mishnah, as the Mishnah mentioned Chasneyen, although our Gemara did not bring the Makar as of yet, but the Maisa the Gemara and Dafchav Chesem and Beis will teach us that Balka Ishtai, and therefore a person's sons-in-law, have the same dinim as his children, and once we know that Balka Ishtai, we also know the next three dinim of our Mishnah of a Balachesu, Balaches Aviv, and Balaches Imai, as they are the same as Achiv Vachi Aviv Vachi Imai. The Gemara continues, Amurav Achi Abba Loyei Li, Hu Ubnei V'chosnei, Afani Loyei Loi, Ani Ubnei V'chosnei. And Rav tells us that just like we saw in the Mishnah, that a person's father's brother, meaning his uncle, as well as his uncle's son, meaning his cousin, and his uncle's son in brother-in-law, meaning his cousin through marriage, and not testify regarding him. Therefore, the same applies to a nephew, and a nephew as well as the nephew's son, and a nephew's son-in-law cannot testify regarding the uncle or the great-uncle. Now, let's keep in mind that the first din of Rav is very pashut, as that's exactly what our Mishnah taught us, as the Mishnah taught us that a person's uncle, Achi Aviv, is possible to testify regarding him, and the Mishnah stated, Heinu b'nei v'chasneim, meaning a person's uncle and the uncle's sons and the uncle's sons-in-law would be possible to testify regarding their nephew or their cousin respectively. However, regarding the second part of Rav's statement, so although clearly from a Mishnah we already know that a nephew can't testify regarding his uncle since there's a reciprocal relationship between an uncle and nephew, and if an uncle can't testify regarding his nephew, so similarly a nephew can't testify regarding his uncle. However, it is then that Rav states that a nephew's son or a nephew's son-in-law can't testify regarding their great-uncle is actually a chiddush. The Gemara will discuss what is Rav's makar to this din. Before we continue, let us give back Dhamma and let us also use names in the case of Rav. So for example, if Reuven and Shimon are brothers, Reuven has a son Chanoich and Shimon has a son Yemuel. Both Chanoich as well as Yemuel have a son and a son-in-law. Rav's first din teaches us that Reuven can't testify regarding Yemuel. Reuven's son Chanoich or Reuven's son-in-law can't testify regarding Yemuel either. The Gemara discusses this case in terms of levels of relationship, and Reuven and Shimon is considered a first level relationship as they are brothers, and then Chanoich and Yemuel, who are Reuven and Shimon's children, or Reuven and Shimon's sons-in-law, would be considered a second generation and would be considered a second level relationship. And finally, Reuven and Shimon's grandchildren or their grandsons-in-law would be a third generation relationship. And therefore, in the first part of Rav's din, as well as in the Mishnah, we see that Reuven can't testify for Yemuel, which is a first generation testify regarding a second generation. And we also see that Chanoich or Reuven's son-in-law, which is a second generation relationship, cannot testify for a second generation, and they can't testify regarding Yemuel either. However, the second part of Rav's statement is more difficult to understand, as while certainly it makes sense that Yemuel can't testify regarding Reuven, as that's the second generation saying testimony against the first generation. However, how does Rav know that Yemuel's son or Yemuel's son-in-law can't testify regarding Reuven if Lemaisa, Yemuel's son or his son-in-law are third level testifying regarding a first level, and maybe that should be mutar, and how do we know that's considered a psul kurva? Therefore, Agamari asks on the statement of Rav, that Mai Havali Shlishi B'Rishayin, that L'chira, his case, where Yemuel's son or son-in-law can't testify regarding Reuven, is a third level testifying against a first level, and how do we know that that's a problem, and that's considered a psul kurva, as all we see in our Mishnah is that a second generation can't say testimony against a second generation, and two first cousins can't testify against each other. And we also saw that Yemuel can't testify against his uncle, which is second generation against the first generation. We never saw in a Mishnah that a third level can't testify against the first level. And as our Gemara asks on Rav, Sheni b'Sheni Tran, Sheni b'Rishon Tran, Shlishi b'Rishon Lo Tran, and what is the makar for Rav's halacha? And the Gemara responds, May chasnoi de tani masisin chasam b'noi, that in Chanami, when a Mishnah mentions Achi Aviv, and then states Heinu b'nei v'chasnein, is not referring to a person's uncle and the uncle's sons and the uncle's son-in-law. And instead, the Mishnah is teaching us that Reuven, who is Yemuel's uncle, can't testify regarding Yemuel. Reuven's son Chanoich can also not testify regarding Yemuel. And when the Mishnah mentioned Chasnai, it's not referring to Reuven's son-in-law, but instead it's referring to Chanoich's son-in-law. And Chanoich's son-in-law, who is a third level, cannot testify regarding Yemuel. And Ayin Rashi points out that the Gemara will ask that although you just gave me a case where there's a third level, well, the Maisa, the case of our Mishnah, would then be where Chanoich's son-in-law, who's on a third level, is testifying for Yemuel, who's on a second level. Certainly, even Rav agrees that a third level can't testify regarding a second level. Rav was only trying to teach us that a third level cannot testify regarding a first level. And the Gemara doesn't ask this question at this point, and instead, the Gemara asks, V'listi ben benoi, if the Mishnah wanted to teach us a chiddush regarding a third level, then why do we have to speak about Chanoich's son-in-law, and instead we should have spoken about Chanoich's son, who is a third level? And the Gemara responds that this is not shver, as Milsa Agav Ochi Kamashman to Balka Ishtai, as the Mishnah specifically wanted to speak about the son-in-law of Chanoich in order to teach us that Balka Ishtai, that a son-in-law is considered just like a son, and therefore there's no difference between the son of Chanoich or the son-in-law of Chanoich, and they're both considered on the same level. And the Gemara continues, Vel Hadid Tani Reb Chiya, the Lemaisa Reb Chiya brought a braisa that taught us, Shmoina Avos Shehin Esrim Rabba, that there are 8 different categories of Kravim, which actually are 24, as for each category, we need to take into account actual curve as well as the son and their son-in-law. Since Lefi Rav Chiya, there are 8 categories of Achi v'Achi Av v'Achi Imoy, Balachisu, Balachis Aviv, Balachis Imoy, Ubal Imoy v'Chomov, Heinu B'nein v'Chasteim, that would equal 24 different psule kravim. The Gemara is that L'Chari, according to Rav, that a third level is also possible. So how did Tlosim v'Tartan have it? In L'Chari, we have to make a calculation not only based on the Korv and his son and son-in-law, but we also have to make a calculation based on his son's son-in-law, and therefore we would actually have 32 kravim instead of 24 kravim. And Ayin Rashi points out that L'Chari, not only would we have to add in a son-in-law, but certainly his son would also be puzzle, as he's also a third level, and therefore there should be 40 kravim. And why does the Gemara mention that there would be 32 kravim? And Rashi explains that once we count sons-in-law, then there's no reason to count them a second time, as we already know the concept of Baal Ke'ishtai. Ayin Tesi Divim Maskos Tlosim V'Tartanavo Hodle Kama Aboim Havu, as we should count Haim, which are 8, Ubanim, and their children, which is another 8, V'chasneim, and their sons-in-law, which is another 8, V'chasam B'neim, U'B'nei B'neim, which is another 16, Mishum like Tanalu B'hedi V'masisin, as since they are not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, therefore we don't count them, Inami Shem Chasus Chadu, or like Rashi says, that once we speak about sons-in-law, that is no need to speak about sons-in-law a second time. And let's keep in mind that although Rav Chiya speaks about 8 different categories of Kravim, however, as we know, our Mishnah speaks about 9 different categories of Kravim, and as we mentioned that Dhamma, we will see that Rav Chiya holds that not only is the din of Chorga Levadai, but Gisa is also Levadai, and regarding Gisa, the din of Heinu B'neim V'chaseim doesn't apply. In the Maisa, based on this Brisa Rav Chiya, it seems clear that our Mishnah is not speaking about a third level, and is not speaking about the sons-in-law of Chanoich. Therefore, our Gemara continues that Lo'ilam Chastai Mamish, that really when our Mishnah mentioned Chastai, it's referring to a person's son-in-law, and it's referring to Reuben's son-in-law, who would be a second level, and not to Chanoich's son-in-law. However, even though he seems to be a second level, but Rav considers a son-in-law of Reuben to be on a third level, as even though we stated that Baal Ke'ishtai, but he's still not a blood relative, and therefore he's not considered on the second level. As the Gemara states, V'amai kar le'chasam benoi, why would we refer to Reuven's son-in-law as the son-in-law of his son, as kivnim al-makasi k'da'ach adami, as since he's not a blood relative, therefore it's considered like a third level and like a generation down. Therefore, Rav would have a raya, and a third level would be considered a kariv. But now the Gemara asks the question that we originally pointed out, as yachi habale shlishi b'sheni, v'rav achshe shlishi b'sheni. And l'chur, if in the second din of Rav, Rav is teaching us that Chanech's son-in-law is puzzled to say testimony regarding Yemuel, but that is referring to a third level that's testifying regarding a second level. Certainly, although it may be true that a third level cannot testify regarding a first level, but certainly a third level can testify regarding a second level. Therefore, this can't be the makor for Rav's halacha that a relative on the third level is puzzled to testify for a karev that's on the first level. Ayin Rashi, on the second of the wide lines, Rashi points out that Rav is achshe shlishi b'sheni, and how do we know that Rav is machsher, a third level, to testify against the second level? The Ka'ama, as Rav stated, afani loya eid loya aniu b'ni, avu b'ni l'b'nai eid, and it's muchach that Rav hold that b'ni l'b'nai eid ayin sham. Based on this question, the Gemara shows that this can't be the makar for Rav's din. In Rashi, 2 lines from where it gets wide, that Rashi points out that the Gemara could have asked another question, the ikka l'kshuye, as we could ask l'Rav, according to Rav, kivin the omar chosin k'dar achadami, as since he says that a chosin is considered on a lower level, amai pasal chosin l'achi abba, as havali revir b'rishayin, how would our Mishnah be able to teach us that a person's son-in-law is going to be puzzled to testify regarding their great uncle, although the chosin is really on the third level, but we consider him on the fourth level? Therefore, how could it be that a fourth level relative will be puzzled to testify against a first level relative? Therefore, the Gemara continues that in Chanami, Rav's Makar is not from our Mishnah, Elu Rav, the Amakar Abalaza, Rav's Makar is based on the fact that he holds like Rav Elazar. And let's keep in mind that in this Brisa, we will see that Rav Elazar not only holds that a third level is puzzled to testify regarding the first level, but he's also puzzled to testify regarding the second level. And the Gemara will actually explain that although Rav holds like Rav Elazar that a third level relative cannot testify regarding a first level relative, however, he will argue on Rav Elazar and he will hold that a third level relative can testify regarding a second level relative. And as the Gemara continued, the Tanya has willing to the Brisa, Rav Elazar Imer, Rav Elazar states, Kashem Shachi Abba Lo Yeir Li Hu B'nei V'chosnei, that just like my uncle cannot testify regarding me, and his son or his son-in-law can't testify regarding me, as they would be a second level testifying regarding a second level, and did the exact same statement as the first statement that Rav made, and it is also the same din of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah stated that Dachi Aviv is one of the Kravim, and the Mishnah mentioned Heinu B'nei V'chasnein, and Rabbi Elazar continues, Kach Ben Achi Abba Lo Yeid Li Hu B'nei V'chasnei, and similarly the son of my father's brother, meaning my first cousin, cannot testify regarding me, as we are both on the second level. Not only can't he testify regarding me, but his son and his son-in-law, who are on the third level, cannot testify regarding me, as that would be a third level testifying regarding a second level. L'maisa, if Rabbi Elazar teaches us that a third level can't testify regarding a second level, then certainly the third level can't testify regarding a first level. However, the Gemara is, V'akati, havalei shlishi b'sheni, but l'maisa from Rabbi Elazar we see that a third level cannot even testify regarding a second level. V'rav, ach shlishi b'sheni, and as we prove from the word of Rav, Rav only stated that a third level is possible to testify regarding a first level, but a third level would be kosher to testify regarding a second level, and therefore, l'chayra, how can you say that Rav is going like the Shita Rabbi Elazar? And the Gemara responds, Rav sabalei kavosei b'chada upolgla b'chada, and in a chenami, Rav only holds like Rabbi Elazar that a third level cannot testify regarding a first level. Rav doesn't take this a step further, and he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar, and Rav holds that a third level can testify regarding a second level. The Gemara continues, my time of Rav. Now, although you just proved that Rav did not say this member on his own, and it's based on the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, but the Maisa was the Makar for Rav, and how does he know that a third generation or a third level cannot testify regarding a first level? And the Gemara explains the Amakra, and it is based on the same Pasuk that we learned all the Makaris from, as the Pasuk stated, Layumsu Avis Abanim, Ubanim Layumsu Al Avis, and since the Pasuk uses an extra Vav, so therefore it's if we read it, Layumsu Avis Abanim, Ubanim, that a father should not die based on the testimony of his son or of his grandson, and therefore we see that a grandson who is on a third level cannot testify regarding his grandfather who is on a first level, or as we stated before, that we're talking about uncles, and therefore we're saying that a great nephew cannot testify regarding his great uncle, as the Gemara states, L'rabbi Star Acher, and the Gemara continues, although you just brought me a Makar, that a third level cannot testify regarding a first level, however, Beleza took this a step further, and he held that a third level cannot even testify regarding a second level, and therefore the Gemara asks for Rabbi Elazar, and what is the Makar of the Sheet of Rabbi Elazar? And the Gemara explains, Abanim Amrachmana, Psuli Da'avis Shadi Abanim, that the Torah tells us that those that are possible to testify regarding a father are also possible to testify regarding the son, and therefore a third generation that is possible to testify regarding a father, as Rav just taught us, will also be possible to testify regarding the father's son, and regarding a second level Karev, therefore Chanich's son or son-in-law will be possible to testify regarding Yemuel. And our Gemara continues, Rav Nachman teaches us the following three dinim, Achich HaMaisi Lo Yeid Li, that my mother-in-law's brother, meaning a person's uncle through marriage, cannot testify regarding me, Ben Achich HaMaisi Lo Yeid Li, and similarly, a person's cousin through marriage, the son of the brother of his mother-in-law, cannot testify for me either, and Ben Achich HaMaisi Lo Yeid Li, and similarly, Reuven's cousin through marriage, who is the son of his mother-in-law's sister, cannot testify for Reuven either. And the Gemara tells us that although this seems to be a major chiddush, but v'tana tuna, but the Maisa we have a raya from our Mishnah, as every time a Mishnah mentioned a korva, then the reciprocal relationship is also asar. Our Mishnah already taught us balachisu, balachis aviv, ubalachis imai, heinu bnei v'chasnein. As Rashi explains, the first case of Reb Nachman of Achich HaMaisi lo yeid li is the exact same case of a Mishnah of chasan balachisai. For example, if Reuven has a sister Dina and Dina is married to Yosef, and certainly Yosef is also to testify for Reuven, and as the Mishnah taught us that balachisai is considered a korva and is considered possible to testify. Certainly Yosef and Dina's son-in-law, and let's call him Menashe, would be also to testify for Reuven, as Lemaisa the Mishnah taught us that balachisai is also as well as Benoi v'chasnai. And from Menashe's perspective, that Menashe is also to testify regarding Reuven, as Reuven is the son-in-law of Yosef and Dina, and therefore Reuven is Menashe's mother-in-law's brother. And similarly, since our Mishnah already taught us that the son-in-law of a person's father's sister's husband is considered a karev, that's as if the Mishnah told us, Ben Achich HaMaisi Lo Yeid Li, as from the perspective of Menashe, who is simply Reuven's father's sister's son-in-law, so that is the same as Rav Nachman taught us, that Ben Achich HaMaisi Lo Yeid Li, as Reuven is the son of the brother of Menashe's mother-in-law. And similarly, our Mishnah taught us that the son-in-law of Balachis Imai is Pasul and is a karev, and we learned that Menashe, who is Reuven's mother's sister's son-in-law, is Pasul to testify regarding Reuven. That is exactly the same as Rav Nachman's statement when he said, Ben Achis Chameisi Lo Yeid Li, as from the perspective of Menashe, Reuven is the son of Menashe's mother-in-law's sister. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Ashi, Ki Avinu Be'ula, when we were in the Yeshiva of Ula, Iboilon, we asked the Shaila regarding the following Kravim, Achicham of Mao, Ben Achicham of Mao, Ben Achicham of Mao, would a person's father-in-law's brother or a person's uncle through marriage be considered a Karev, and would he be Pasal Edus? And similarly, what is the Halacha regarding someone's father-in-law's brother's son or a person's cousin through marriage? And similarly, what is the Halacha regarding a father-in-law's sister's son? Once again, who is his cousin through marriage? And the Gemara tells us, Amalon, that Ula responded to us, Tanisu, that we actually learned this in the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us, Achiv v'achi ove v'achi imai, heinu b'neim v'chasneien. Since we know, b'negei p'sulei edus, that there's always a reciprocal relationship, therefore, since our Mishnah taught us that the son-in-law of a person's brother or a person's nephew through marriage is possible to testify, so therefore, the inverse is true as well, that a person's father-in-law's brother or a person's uncle through marriage is also going to be possible to testify regarding the nephew. And similarly, since our Mishnah taught us that the son-in-law of a person's paternal uncle is possible to testify, so the inverse would be true as well, that someone's father-in-law's brother's son would also be possible to testify. And similarly, since the Mishnah taught us that someone's maternal uncle's son-in-law is possible to testify, so similarly, the inverse would be true, and Bein Achis Chamav, or someone's father-in-law's sister's son, would be considered a Karev and would be possible to testify. And the Gemara now continues, Rav Ikla Lemizma Gvili, that Rav went to a city in order to buy parchment, and we continue in Daf Chav Chesam Beis, Ba'umine Ma'osh Yeyed Adam Be'eshes Chargoy, and the people of that city asked Rav if someone could testify regarding the wife of his stepson. And Rashi explains, Be'eshes Chargoy Al Nichse Muluk Shalah Be'eshoftim Adam Menashok, that the Shaila is regarding a situation where there was a question as to the Nichse Muluk of a person's stepson's wife, and someone is claiming that these Nichasim belong to them, and Lemaisa, if his stepson's wife wins, then potentially the stepson will be able to get these Nichasim, as Lemaisa, she's now his wife. Rashi points out, that the people of the city did not have a Shaila regarding the wives of other Kravim, as since Benegeo other Kravim are Misha Torahs, Heinu B'neim V'chasneim, therefore since the Psul extends to their children, so therefore we would say that the Psul extends to their wives as well. However, since B'negeo Chargoy and B'negeo stepson, the Mishnah stated V'chargoy L'vadoi, and it doesn't extend to his children or to his sons-in-law, therefore we could have a Shaila that maybe the Psul Korvar would not extend to his stepson's wife, and as Rashi states, the Kivin de B'neim Psul Loi V'hu Lehem Pasul Afal Noshim L'fisha Bonim Ruin L'irish Esayman Aval Chargoy de B'nei Kosha Mibay Lam B'ishtoi. And the Gemara continues, and some Agurius Amaluhu, that Rav responded to them that Besur Amri Balka Ishtoi and Pabadisa Amri Isha Kabaila, that certainly the Psul to his stepson does extend to the stepson's wife, as in Surah we learned that a husband has the same din as a wife, and Pabadisa we learned that a woman always has the same din as her husband, and therefore the wife of a person's stepson would be considered exactly like his stepdaughter. And Lachir, since Rashi just taught us that the Gemara never had a Shaila regarding the wives of other Kravim, therefore it would seem that we shouldn't be Gurus de Amrav Hunam Rav, and instead we should be Gurus Amrav Hunam Rav, that Rav Huna stated in Rav, Minayin She'isha Kabaila, that how do we know that there's a general din that a wife and a husband have the same dinim as the Chsiv, as the Pasuk in Pasha Achrimay states, Ervis Achia Vicha Lo Segale El Ishtoi Lo Sigrav De Doschahi, and the Torah tells us that it's also for a person to have a relationship with his uncle's wife, and the Pasuk tells us De Doschahi, that she is your aunt. Gemara points out that she's not actually your aunt, she's the wife of your uncle, Michlal and some agurus, Mikan, Sha'isha Kabaila, and we see from here that someone's wife has the same status as a husband. The Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah that one of the curves in the Mishnah was Bal Imai, who b'nei v'chasnai, a person's mother's husband or a person's stepfather, as well as his son and his son-in-law. And right now, the Gemara's havmin is when the Mishnah stated b'nei, it refers to the stepfather's son with the person's mother. And for example, if Reuven's mother Leah remarries and she's now married to Yaakov, and Yaakov and Leah have a son Shimon, who is a half brother to Reuven, then Shimon is puzzled to say edus or to be a dayin for Reuven. And the Gemara therefore asks, b'nei haynu achiv, l'chayru, this son is actually Reuven's brother, and the Mishnah already mentioned that Shimon is puzzled to say edus for Reuven. And the Gemara responds, Amar b'yemiya lo nitzucha alachiyach, that ein chenami, when our Mishnah mentions bal imoi as well as his son, we're talking about a stepfather's son, and it's his stepbrother and not his half-brother. However, even Rabbi Yemi agrees that there is no question that if Reuven's mother Leah and her new husband Yaakov never had any children, and therefore Reuven doesn't have any half-brothers, then certainly Yaakov's son from a different marriage, who is Reuven's stepbrother, would would not be possible to testify regarding Reuven, and the only time that a Mishnah is teaching us that a stepbrother would be possible to testify regarding his stepbrother, that is only if Yaakov had a child together with Leah, and let's call that child Levi, and Levi now is a half-brother to Shimon, also Reuven's half-brother. Since Shimon is a half-brother both to Reuven and to Levi, therefore, although Shimon and Reuven are only stepbrothers, but Shimon would still be possible to testify regarding his stepbrother Reuven. This seems to be clear from the Lashon Rabbi Yemi, who states, and the Gemara continues, Rav Chista Achsha Bachia Ach, Rav Chista argues Rabbi Yemi, even in a scenario where the stepbrothers share an actual brother, the stepbrothers are still not considered kravim, and they could still testify one regarding the other, and Reuven will be able to testify Legabi Shimon, and Shimon will be able to testify Legabi Reuven. The Gemara is Amulei, that they ask Rav Chista, Leishmir L'chohad Rabbi Yemi, do you not hear the din of Rabbi Yemi? And Amulehu, and Rav Chista responded, Leishmir Li, Kleima Leishmir Li, that certainly I did hear the memory of Rabbi Yemi, but I don't agree to his memory. And Lemaisa, at this point, according to Rav Chista, the Gemara is back to its original question, as L'chayr, when the Mishnah stated, Ubal Imai Hu B'nai V'chasnai, so L'chayr B'nai Hainu Achiv, that L'chayr, according to Rav Chista, the only way to explain a Mishnah when it stated that B'nai is Asa is referring to a person's half brother, as a person's stepbrother is not going to be possible and is not considered a Karev, and therefore L'chayr, that's exactly the same case in the Mishnah of Achiv. And the Gemara responds, Inachanami, Tana Achiv B'na'av, V'katani Achiv B'na'im, that the Tana of the Mishnah speaks about brothers, and that's referring to full brothers, or at least to a case where the brothers are half brothers from their father. And then the Mishnah teaches us that the son of a person's mother from a new husband is also considered a karev, and it's possible to say edus, even though he's only his maternal brother. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chista, v'chasen v'avikalim idin zeh al zeh, that the father of a chasen and the father of a kala can each be made regarding each other, and some agurus zeh la zeh, and even though they are machatanim, v'leidomu la'adadi, eli ki achla l'dana, as although they share relatives, or the ma'aseh, they have no relationship, and as Rashi says, k'magufa she'in adomu l'chavis, just like the top of a barrel is not similar to the actual barrel. And Ayin Demiri, who states, v'ein zu ha'kovativius, this is not a natural relationship, ela ha'kovishchenis, k'magufis ha'chavis l'chavis. And some explain, this is like the cover of a barrel, she'in b'm dibuk, ela nochel b'vad, that is only placed on top of the barrel, and is not attached to the barrel. And the Gemara continues regarding another relationship, as Amrav Babachana made Adam l'ishter arusa, that a person can say testimony regarding his arusa, as he only was mekadeshah, and they did not have nesuyin. And Amrav Avina states, that the only time that we said he could testify is only if he's going against her interests and he wants to take something away from her. However, but in order to actually have something stay in her rishus, then he's not neman, as certainly he has negias that that item should stay and remain in her rishus, as ultimately he knows that once they get married, she will bring it into his rishus. And as Rashi says, however, the Gemara tells us that this din of Rabbi Bechana, as well as the din of Ravina, is not correct, as then in all cases a man is not neman to testify regarding his arusa. And the Gemara continues and explains its psak as my daitech, as what would be a svara for the din of Rabbi Bechana, that a person can testify for his arusa and then not consider a karev, can Amar Abchir Ba'ami Mishpeid Ula, would be based on the din that stated from Abchir Ba'ami in the name of Ula. And some actually bring this down as a brisa that Ishtarusa lo'inu v'le metamala, that if Reuven was Mekadosh Rachel, then the din of Aninus doesn't apply to Reuven. Therefore, if Rachel dies, the din of Aninus doesn't apply to Reuven, and Reuven would still be able to yikach him. And similarly, if Reuven is a Kayin and Rachel dies, then Reuven would not be able to be metame to Rachel, as Lamaisa she is not yet considered She'irai. And similarly, v'chein hi lo'inanus v'le metamaloi, that if Reuven dies, then Rachel would not have a din of Aninus, and she would be able to yikach him. When the brisa states v'le metamaloi, so certainly we're not talking about a woman that is a Kayin, as certainly the issa for Kayin to become tummy is only relevant to Bnei Aaron and not to Bnei Saron. Therefore, Rashi explains, and really the din of Vilei Metamaloi doesn't really teach us any major halacha, and the only reason why we mention it is in order for both of these members to be symmetrical. And as Rashi in Masechta Yevamah states, and Rashi in Yevamah continues, that is referring to around the time of Yativ, and therefore Gemara tells us that this din doesn't apply to Rachel, since at the point that Reuven died, they only had Kedushin. And Rashi in Masechet Ksubos explains this a bit different, and he says, "Ein chayavus l'tamiloi va'afal pisha mitzvah l'sasek b'shiva meisim mitzvah hamurim b'pashas koyinim yichsev lo yitama." And when one of someone's craven dies, there's a mitzvah to be misasek with their kfura and to become tamei meis. However, mitzvah zu ein mehem delav she'erhi. However, certainly if she wants to become tamei, then even if she's a bas koyin, it would be mutter for her to become tamei. And our Gemara continues that Ula stated meisa ein yasha, that if Rachel dies, Ruvi would not yashna. However, Meshu gave a ksubasa, that if Ruvin actually gave her a ksuba while they had kedushin, then if Ruvin dies, then Rachel would have a right to collect a ksuba. But l'maisa we see from this member of Ula that Ruvin cannot be metame to Rachel, and therefore from this member of Ula we see that there is no korva. L'chayru Rabba Bachano was basing his point on this member, and that's why he stated that made Adam l'ishtarusa, as there is no korva. However, the Gemara explains that you can't be metame milsa l'milsa, as Hasam b'she'iri tol rachmana, dine tuma is tolui in she'irai, and certainly since there was only Erisin, therefore Rachel is not she'irai, and therefore certainly if Reuven is a kohen, he cannot be metame to Rachel, and as the Gemara states, akati lav she'irai. However, you can't be medame this din to the din of korva that's relevant to edus and to judgment, as hachom mishum ikuvi daitehu, but ikuvi daite l'gabar, and the ma'isa, the reason to pass on someone to be an aid is based on someone having a close relationship, and certainly by having kedushin, they already formed a close relationship, and therefore, as the Gemara stated, loishna lafuke v'loishna leule loy mehemin, that Reuven would not be neman and can't testify regarding an arusa, and even though they did not yet have nesuyin. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah v'charge levadai, and only the stepson is possible to say edus for his stepfather. However, the stepson's son or the stepson's son-in-law is not going to be possible to say edus for their step grandfather. And our Mishnah also spoke about gisai, and the husband of Reuven's wife's sister or Reuven's brother-in-law is possible to say edus legabi Reuven. And the Mishnah mentioned that this one would apply to Reuven's brother-in-law as well as Reuven's brother-in-law's son or Reuven's brother-in-law's son-in-law, which is Reuven's wife's nephew or Reuven's nephews. And the Gemara now brings two braises. As Tana Rabbanan, we learned in one braise, Chargal of Adai, that the psul of a stepson is only on a stepson and not on benoi v'chosnoi and Rabbi Yisi Imagisai. And right now, based on the Gias of Agamara, the Gemara understands that Rabbi Yisi is coming to explain the Tana Kama, and he said it's not only Chargai, but it will also be Gisa Levadai, v'tanya idach, and we learned in another braise that Gisa Levadai, that the psul b'negei brother-in-law is only his brother-in-law and not benoi v'chosnoi, and Rabbi Yehuda Imagargai, and Rabbi Yehuda explains that when the Tana Kama stated Gisa Levadai, he also meant to include Chargal Levadai, and the psul of the stepson is only for the stepson himself and not for benoi or chosnoi. And as the Gemara continues, my kama, that what is pshat in these two brises, as ilay mahachi kama, and if you will explain the brises as follows, the chargal levadai v'hu adin legisai, that the first brisa tells us chargal levadai, and Rabbi Yisi comes to explain that doesn't only mean chargal levadai, but the same din would apply to gisai, and gisai would also be levadai. And then when the second brisa states gisai levadai, that is the sheet of Rabbi Yisi, and Rabbi Yehuda comes to explain that Rabbi Yisi certainly doesn't mean that it only applies to Gisai and not to Chargai, as the same din would apply to Chargai, and his stepson would also have a din Levadai, and the psul to say this would not apply to his son or his son-in-law. If this is the way that we will explain these braises, then it will come out that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi agree that the din Levadai applies both to Chargai as well as to Gisai. And if so, the Gemara is Alamastis and Tani Gisai who b'nei v'chasnei money, then a Mishnah would teach us that the din of Gisai applies not only to a person's brother-in-law but also to his brother-in-law's son and his son-in-law. Then who would that be going like? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yisi. This would not be going like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Yisi. And therefore, the Gemara tries to explain Belahachi Kama. And if you can explain that the brises mean as follows, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Chargal Levadai Avol Gisa Hu B'nei V'Chosnai, and our Mishnah is going like the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, Va'as Rabbi Yisi Lameimo Gisa Levadai Avol Chargal Hu B'nei V'Chosnai. Rabbi Yisi argues with Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds the only time we say Levadai is only by Gisai, but by his stepson, then the psul applies to the stepson's son as well as to his son-in-law. Therefore, there is a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi. And the way to understand the two braises is that the first braise states that chargal levadai, and this is the shita Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi Imer Gisai. And Rabbi Yisi says that Gisa is levadai, but chargal is not levadai, and the psul applies to benoi v'chosnei as well. And the way to understand the second braise is that the Tanakama is the shita Rabbi Yisi, and Rabbi Yisi holds only Gisa levadai. However, the psul of chargal is for his son and for his son-in-law as well. And Rabbi Yehuda comes to argue on Rabbi Yisi, and he states that chargal levadai, that the only time that the psul only applies applies to the person is only by Chargai, and the Psul Kurva only applies to a stepson, but not to the stepson's son or his son-in-law. However, the Psul of Gisai applies to Hu B'nai B'chasnai. However, let's keep in mind that Lefi Zeh, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi agree, although there are 10 Kravim that are Psul, however, the din of Hu B'nai B'chasnai only applies to 9 different Kravim, as Lefi Rabbi Yehuda, the din of Chargai is Levadai, but everyone else has a din Hu B'nai B'chasnai, and Lefi Rabbi Yisi, the din of Gisai is Levadai, and everyone else, including Chargai, would have a din Hu B'nai B'chasnai. And therefore, Gemara now is, V'alohadetani Rabbi Chia Shmoina Avai Shein Esma Ba Keman, like Rabbi Yisi, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Lemaisa we had a Brisa Rabbi Chia that stated there are only 8 categories of Kravim, and if you take into account their sons and their sons in law, so there's a total of 24 Kravim that are Pasul, Lemaisa, this Brisa Rabbi Chia would not be able to explain, not according to the Shita Rabbi Yisi and not according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, as both according to Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Yehuda, there are actually 9 Kravim, where the Psul Kurva is not only on Hu, but it's also on B'nai B'chasnai, and therefore both of you, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisi, there would be a total of 27 Kravim that are Pasul and not 24, and therefore the Gemara continues and explains the two Brises as follows, Elohochi Ka'ama, Chargai Levadai, Alvagisa Hu B'nai B'chasnai, that the Tanakam of the first Brisa, which is Rabbi Yehuda, he holds the Chargai Levadai, but B'negei Gisai, the Psul would not only apply to your brother-in-law, but also to your brother-in-law's son and his son-in-law. And the Asur Rabbi Yisi Lameimo, Gisa Levadai, V'koshkin Chargai, that Rabbi Yisi actually says that the Psul Kurva of a brother-in-law is only the brother-in-law himself, and this Psul doesn't go to his sons or to his sons-in-law, and certainly the Psul doesn't go to the sons and sons-in-law of the brother-in-law, which is a closer relative to a person than his stepson, and certainly the Psul of Kurva by his stepson doesn't apply to the stepson's son or the stepson's son-in-law. And if he's there, the way to understand the first Brisa is that Rabbi Yehuda stated Chargai Levadai, and Rabbi Yisi Aimer Gisai, and Rabbi Yisi states that Gisai is Levadai, and Kolshkin Chargai is Levadai, and the Tanakhama of the second Brisa that stated Gisai Levadai is going like Rabbi Yisi, that Gisai is Levadai, and Kolshkin Chargai is Levadai, and Rabbi Yehuda Aimer Chargai, Rabbi Yehuda states that the only time that we have a din that is Levadai is only by Chargai, but the Psul of Gisai would be Hu B'nai V'chasnai. Therefore, Gemara explains Mastis Rabbi Yehuda and Brisa Rabbi Yisi that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, that there are 9 different Kravim where the din is Heinu B'nei V'chasnein, and the only time that we say Levadai is only B'negei Chargai, and as our Mishnah clearly stated, V'gisai Heinu B'nei V'chasnein, and the Brisa that Rabbi Chia brought that Shemayin Ava is Shehin Esm V'Aba, that is going like the Shita Rabbi Yisi, that not only is Chargai Levadai, but Gisai is also Levadai, and therefore there are only 8 Kravim that include Heinu B'nei V'chasnein for a total of 24 Psule Kravim. And before we continue, although we just mentioned the Shita Rabbi Yisi, who stated that the din of Levadai is not only regarding Chargai, but also regarding Gisai, we also saw another member of Rabbi Yisi in our Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin and Abayis, who stated, Om Rabbi Yisi, Zu Mishas Rabbi Kiva, Ava Mishra Rishayna, Doidoi Ben Doidoi B'chal Roi Eliyashai. However, originally we held that the only time there's a Psul Kurva is only to relatives from your father and not to maternal relatives, and this includes Doidoi Ben Doidoi and Chal Roi Eliyashai. And our Gemara now continues, Om Rabbi Yudom Shmuel, Halak Rabbi Yisi, and Rashi explains that at this point to the Gemara's Havmin is that Shmuel meant that Halacha follows Rabbi Yisi, that Rabbi Yisi stated on Mishnah that the only Psul Kurva is for a relative that has the ability to Yashin, but if there's a relative that can't Yashin, then he would not have a Psul Kurva and he would be Kashal Eidos. Certainly Gisai, which refers to someone's wife's sister's husband, has no ability to Yashin him, therefore if you're Rabbi Yisi, he should be Kashal to testify, and based on this understanding of Shmuel, the Gemara continued with the story, that there was a shtar matana where the two signatories on the shtar were two brothers-in-law, and therefore so Rabbi Yisif thought that he should be machshir the shtar as they were proper edim. And Lemaisa, brothers-in-law have no ability to yashin each other, and therefore they are impossible edus. And Amalei Abaya, so Abaya responded to Rabbi Yisif, mimayd Rabbi Yisif the mashnisin the machshir begisai, that who said that when Shmuel states halach Rabbi Yisi, he's referring to Rabbi Yisif HaMishnah, that's Machsha B'Gisai, but Dilma of Rabbi Yisi the Brisa, the Pasul B'Gisai, but maybe he's referring to Rabbi Yisi of the Brisa that actually clearly states that Gisai is Pasul. Rabbi Yisi responded to Abaya, Lois HaKadaitach, that you shouldn't think that this is Pshat and Shmuel, as the Amma Shmuel, as Shmuel stated, Kagoyin and Noah Pinchas, the Havin and Achiv B'Gisai, that the only time the brother-in-law will be Pasul are only similar to myself and my brother Pinchas, that although we are Pasul, but that is because we're also brothers, and and not because we're brothers-in-law. And it seems clear from Shmuel, Avogisi da Alma Shapidami, that if they would only be brothers-in-law, then they would be kosher, and they would not be pasul edus. And therefore you do see that Shmuel actually passing like Rabbi Yisi in our Mishnah. However, the Gemara continues that by response to his Rebbe Rabbi Yisif, Vidulma Kagoyin Anoa Pinchas Mishum de Gisa Kama, that quite possibly Shmuel actually passing like Rabbi Yisi in the Braisa, and really Gisai and brothers-in-law are pasul edus. And Shmuel was just giving an example of brothers-in-law that are pasul, and he stated, for example, like myself and Pinchas, my brother, who are brothers-in-law, Shmuel never meant to say that we're not pasul because we're brothers-in-law and only because we're brothers, but he meant to say that we're also pasul because we married sisters and we are brothers-in-law. Because of this question, so a Malay, so Rabbi Yisif said to the person that had the shtar, Zilkanya be'idim esira k'rabalaza, that in a chenami, although Abaya may be correct, that you can't be koino because of the edim that signed on the shtar, because they're relatives and they're brothers-in-law, and therefore they're pasul. However, as long as you had edim esira, then you could be koino, as we paskin like k'rabalaza, that edim esira karti. However, the Gemara continues that Abaya once again said to his Rabbi Yisif, v'am Rab Abba, ma'id Rabbeleza v'mezuv p'teichashu pasul, that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if there are edim that signed on the shtar and they're actually pasul, then since there is some sort of a problem with the shtar, as the edim that are signed in it are pasul, so even if there would be edim asira, it would not be a valid shtar, and therefore the shtar is not valid and the matana is not valid. And therefore the Gemara tells us that Amalei, so finally Rabbi Yisus said to the mekabel matana, zil lo shafki li the spinalach, that you should go, as I have no ability to give the matana to you, as they're not allowing me to give the matana to you, as a Abaye reminded me that when Shmuel stated halacha k'rabisi, he meant to say that halacha is like Rabisi or the Braisa, that brothers-in-law are possible to sign on a shtar. Once the edi chasima are not valid, therefore we can't rely on edi masira, even though generally we pass like Rabbi Elazar that edi masira kati, and we will stop over here.